Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we're really happy to welcome back to the program a specialist on rainwater harvesting. El Paso sees its share of rainfall every now and then, and what a great way to take advantage of the few drops or the many drops that many of us may experience when that happens. So we want to welcome back Doc Stalker, Texas Master Gardener, rainwater harvesting specialist. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Well, okay, well, we maybe sometimes, depending on where you live in town, you will see a few little drops or you'll see a torrential downpour, which may result in some flash flooding in some neighborhoods. What do you think would be the best way to start to try to take advantage of some of that rainfall?
Well, you know, it's very important to be aware of the fact that it does rain a little bit each month. Some months are more, some months are less. But if you don't save a little bit of that rainwater every month, it's just like not saving money at the end of your life. What have you got left if you don't save? Zero, nada. So it's important to know that if you can keep the water on your property, your plants will grow. Now, you can't grow all the plants in the world, of course, but the ones that are specialized or adapted for the desert are very prone to being grown here. And so rainwater out of the sky is something that you want to try to collect, keep on your property. And you can do that in a couple of ways. Number one, you can take it off your roof or off your patio or off your driveway and have it run into the ground. Stop it there with a little berm, and it'll soak in like a sponge. And so the plants that are in the landscape will soak it up. Or the other way, of course, is the more traditional way is to put it into a rain barrel and to use it when you want to, where you want to. And as I said, since it rains a little bit here, probably about a tenth of an inch during the winter and the spring, a tenth of an inch on 1,000 square foot of a catchment area is going to fill up a 55-gallon barrel. So at least once a month, you're going to have about 55 gallons of water that you can use.
That's unbelievable. When you just got a little sprinkle and you look out the window and you see it's just sort of an insignificant rainfall, and it may be sort of just dripping off your roof, but you don't really think that it really can accumulate to that much. So if you have a rain barrel or some sort of a catchment, and you maybe have something in your garage that you think that could work as a temporary rain catchment barrel, what do you suggest people would do? Like maybe they have spouts running off of their roof. Would you just say put them underneath those spouts where the rainwater will run off?
Initially, yeah, I think probably, because I think you'd be amazed the amount of water that you are going to catch. And then once you have the bug, then you're going to come out and maybe attend one of our classes or one of our workshops that we have upcoming and learn more about it and some of the techniques that are more practical to use than just a bucket.
Well, what are one of the ways that people can start off in creating their own rainwater bucket or barrel? What are, you know, some sizes they can start off with? Or maybe they have a, you know, a plastic garbage can in their house. What's sort of a good basic way for people to start that maybe doesn't require them running immediately to a home improvement store?
Well, that's a real problem, of course, because here in El Paso, not so much in Las Cruces, but in El Paso, it's kind of difficult to find good rainwater harvesting containers. Now, you can use a commercially produced trash barrel, but they don't have a very durable plastic. And so they tend to deteriorate over a short period of time. But to answer your question, whatever they do, whether it's just stick a bucket out underneath the drain or whether they dig a little shallow depression in their front yard so that the water stays there, that's the best way to get started. Start small. Don't try to gild the lily. Do it in a reasonable fashion so you don't spend a lot of money. And then take a look and see really what happens when the rain does hit your property. You know, if it stays in one spot, so much the better. If it doesn't, if it runs down and gets into the street, figure out a way to keep it back on your side of the curb. What we're trying to do is make people have a rainy day and make that rain last for weeks.
You have that water now in a bucket or in a catchment of sorts. What's the best way to get that water to the plants now that, because you can't really carry it everywhere you go around the yard because it's going to be kind of heavy.
Well, you can use it one or two methods, actually more than that, but the two that I like to talk about is either a drip or a dip method. Now, if you've got a rain barrel that's got an open top on it, you can actually take your watering can, dip it into the water, take it out, and sprinkle it on the flowers that you've got in a bedding area. Or you can use a soaker hose off the faucet on the bottom of the rain barrel, Or you can use drip irrigation, which is a little bit more advanced but is probably more practical. Doesn't use as much water, so it makes that rainwater that you catch last longer.
So what are the benefits of rainwater as opposed to just water from your faucet or water from your regular irrigation system? Because I think we've all noticed that when we water our plants using a sort of irrigation system, yes, it's going to provide your plants with the necessary water to survive, but we always notice that after a rainfall, it almost seems like the whole landscape just perks up. Is it just because rainwater is just so much more all-encompassing rather than, you know, like a focused irrigation stream coming from your system?
Well, that's a good point because, number one, rainwater is free. I mean, after your initial cost, of course, of getting a bucket, the rainwater that you've got there is free for you, and it's on your property. And before it gets into a stream or out in the street, it really belongs to you. So, number one, it doesn't cost you anything. Number two, as you pointed out, plants do like rainwater more than they like your city tap water because rainwater doesn't have any additional ingredients placed in it like chlorine or fluoride or any other things. Of course, here in town in some areas where even if you pump it out of the ground, you may find that you've got arsenic in it. So it's a real serious problem. And if you use it out of the Rio Grande, of course, then you've got this salt content that's just a shade this side of being the ocean seawater. So rainwater is more beneficial for plants. It's free, no extra ingredients added. And the plants like it because rainwater is a little bit more acidic than your city water. And here in the alkaline Southwest, any acidic moisture that we can get into the ground tends to dissolve the salts, get them down below the root area, and the plants really enjoy that.
Well, what's a good way to maybe keep that water from evaporating in the hot months or perhaps keeping mosquitoes from breeding in it? I would assume you'd be able to find, purchase, or create a sort of a cover for that. Because I know sometimes you leave water sitting for too long and it's going to develop a smell or there's going to be, you know, some sort of an algae or a bacteria that's going to start forming in it. What's the best way to keep that from happening?
Well, you've got a lot of questions there. number one, if you're going to allow water to gather in a small depression out in your yard so it can soak in like a sponge, you want to make sure that that water is able to be integrated into the soil, to permeate down into the soil within about 24 hours. You don't want it sitting around to the point that the mosquitoes find it and start breeding. Number two, if you're going to put it into a container, you want that container to be sun tight. You don't want any sunlight going through the side of the container, and so we tell people that they should paint their containers with house paint of their color, or they can decorate them to make them a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. But you don't want any sunlight getting into that container because as soon as you do, the algae is going to start breeding. And once you get algae in there, it's going to clog up your emitters on your drip irrigation. It's going to clog up your hose that you're using for a soaker hose. And so you don't want any sunlight in there. That's the two main things. No mosquitoes, no sunlight.
Well, going back to the paint, is there a particular color of paint that you would recommend?
Depending on what kind of a barrel you got, of course, if you've got the old oaken barrel, you can just go ahead and paint it with regular house paint, and there's no preparation required. If you've got one of the newer modern plastic barrels, you need to go ahead and start using primer paint first after you sand it lightly so it will adhere to the barrel. Mm. And then if you don't like white, which most primers come in white, you want to go ahead and paint it whichever color that you desire. Generally, just acrylic or latex house paint would work fine.
Okay, because I would think that, you know, a black or a really dark color paint would sort of cause the water in there to heat up a lot more, seeing as it does absorb a lot more heat.
Well, when I was a boy, we used to store our rainwater and use it for showers, and we liked to have the sun heat up. No, actually, that's true. If you can keep your rain barrel in the shade, of course, that eliminates some of the sunlight getting to it. And if you can put some sort of a covering on the outside that is reflective of sunlight, a lighter color, that tends to keep it cooler water, and the plants enjoy that too, rather than take some boiling water and putting on them. So, yeah, if you can somehow lower your temperature of your rain barrel so that the water doesn't overheat, that's a good thing, particularly if you're going to use it for your pets. No sense wasting good fresh water out of the tap on your pets because they really don't need the fluoride. Go ahead and use your rainwater for your pets or for some cases, your livestock.
But not for humans.
Well,
as far as maybe bathing, but not drinking.
No, we don't advocate that people in metropolitan areas that have access to fresh water that's been treated with chlorine even consider using rainwater for drinking. And, of course, except in a very dire emergency, like you don't have any water for 3 days because the pipes are frozen. But even then, we want to be absolutely sure that the water that we are drinking doesn't contain any bacteria or cysts or other chemicals that may cause some problems later on because we're humans and not used to lapping up rainwater. But here in Texas, you know, in a lot of places, using rainwater for all purposes inside the house is really gaining ground. And in some locations, they don't even have any water supply, not even a well, and all they use is rainwater.
Well, the other part of the question that I had was mosquitoes, and how do you prevent them from breeding in any sitting water?
Well, as I said, if you've got water out there, make sure that it goes into the ground within about 24 hours. And if you've got a rain barrel, you want to make sure that you've got some sort of a covering. Now, if it's an open rain barrel, you want to make sure that you've got a mesh screen on top. And then the holes that permeate into the rain barrel, either for your input or your output, you should screen those too as well.
I was just going to add to that is that if people are hesitant about rainwater harvesting, especially in the desert, they can certainly start small and perhaps put a rainwater barrel out at their garden shed or their around their sitting area. They have some kind of shade area to start small and really build up to harvesting all of their rainwater. And at that point, they can certainly see the savings looking at how much percentage of water goes to our landscapes. Anyways, you see how we can directly put that into the ground just by using a small amount of water. It's amazing how quickly that builds up, even on a small garden shed with a 55-gallon barrel.
Well, there's a couple of other things, too. If you've got a refrigerated air conditioner, that generates condensation that generally is run off your roof or put into a sanitary stack on top of your roof or just run into the ground down below. Mm-hmm. But that's almost pure water, and that water can be put into a barrel and saved. And it's almost as good as rainwater. It's not quite as acidic as rainwater, but that's something that people that have got refrigerated air should also consider. There's a lot of water that comes out of the atmosphere.
And what about folks with evaporative coolers?
That's not a good idea. Evaporative coolers are no-no. You've got too much of a salt buildup because of the way that the evaporative coolers are designed and the way that they operate. And so you're putting even saltier water on your plants around your house.
Well, really quickly, I have a question about maybe people's roof types or any gutter systems that they may have. Well, if you have a flat roof, like a lot of southwestern homes in the region, rainwater is going to come out through those spouts on the top of the house, and you could probably just easily put, you know, a barrel underneath those spouts to catch the water coming off your roof. But if you have maybe a pitched roof and you have a gutter system that takes the rainwater down to the bottom of the house, how do you collect that water? Because it's obviously not coming from the top. Maybe you have some sort of a gutter system that runs down the side of the house and then spouts out at ground level.
Well, let's talk about the canals first.
Okay.
Because a lot of people say, well, I don't have gutters on my house. I've got these funny-looking spouts, you know, and they're really called canals. And what we prefer to see, rather than putting up a separate, perhaps ugly drain spout on each canal, so that you've got sort of a bar effect or a prison look across the front of your house, use a rain chain. And that's you really can be just a large chain that drops down from each canal and goes into a rain barrel or your catchment area, whatever it is that you're using. Very simple, very inexpensive. A lot of people in Japan use that, have used it for centuries. And so a lot of people in the Southwest are discovering rain chains, and they don't have to spend a lot of money. You can buy them for quite a bit. It's made out of copper, and they're really decorative. But just a chain will work, too. Now, if you've got a downspout already, gutters across your house, so much the better, because you can modify that, cut it off. Maybe you'll need to get the local handyman to come in and chop off enough so that you can have that raised up high enough so it goes into the barrel rather than flow into the ground.
Well, Doc, that's great advice, and we look forward to any future workshops that you may have coming up on rainwater harvesting. We'll make sure to give our listeners heads up when that comes along. And if you would like information on rainwater harvesting, any handouts or any other materials, you can always call the Master Gardener Hotline and request some. Their number is 566-1276, 566-1276. Thanks so much, Doc Stocker. You're the Texas Master Gardener Rainwater Harvesting Specialist. Well, we hope that you come back for another Good to Grow to talk to us a little bit more about any other upcoming events.
I'd like to.
Thanks again so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.